Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 59 of our Year of the Bible stroll through Holy Scripture, here with my boy. Hi. on the way to the grocery store, but just wanted to say a little something about this little section of Deuteronomy that we're reading from today. I wrote as the little summary of it. Actually, I wrote as a little summary from yesterday, final set of laws, finally. And I guess this is kind of final set of laws, finally, number two. This is like the miscellaneous grab bag, the things that he sort of had left over. Two thoughts about that. One is that it's easy to forget that they're starting a nation here. So a lot of random laws and all this kind of stuff because they're starting a country. In the great musical Hamilton, if you're into that kind of stuff, they have to write all the Federalist Papers and they do all this stuff. And Hamilton and that other guy, Edmund Burr. Thank you. Aaron Burr, sorry. Aaron Burr, like, they have all these debates about everything. The boy knows more than I do. They have all this stuff because they're starting a country with a new set of laws that's different than laws before. And so, yeah, so you start out with some general principle like you should love your neighbor as yourself. And then you have to come up with all the different ways that pertains, right? So, like, think about the right of inheritance for the daughters that came up. You know, you add some, you know, fine principle, then you had to figure out how to apply it and all this kind of stuff. So grab bag, miscellaneous, they're starting a country. That's why it's so detailed. Number two is, there's a lot of weird ones. One of the things that I've learned as we've gone through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, is that if you see a really weird law, one of the things to think is this excluding a Canaanite, Mesopotamian, Babylonian, whatever religious practice, and if it is, that can sort of make sense of some of it. I mention that because they're talking about in chapter 23 exclusion from the assembly, and it says no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. Like, why in the world would you make a rule like that? First of all, it doesn't seem very nice if you are the unfortunate person who's had that kind of thing happen to you. Insult to injury, I mean, literal insult to literal injury, be excluded from the assembly. But that's not what it's about. It's about eunuchs, the practice of eunuchizing, I don't know, making people eunuchs in order to serve either in royal functions or in religious functions in some other, and Canaanite religion or Babylonian religion. That's what it's about. Israel's God is not synchronistic. There's one God and there's one worship, and you don't get involved in that other stuff. And also, like, the destruction of the person, the mutilation of a person, is not something that God wants. That's not, God wants our flourishing and everything. Not that. So we know, so no one who's been emasculated can enter into the assembly. Now, where this cashes out in the New Testament is, of course, in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch who, you know, is a high up official in an Ethiopian, which is a far away, you know, exotic, far away royal situation, and is reading Isaiah. And Peter sees him reading Isaiah and says, "Do you know what this is about?" And he says, "No." And he explains it to him, tells him the story. And he says, "Can I be baptized too?" The Ethiopian eunuch says, "Can I be baptized too?" Now, that's a complicated question. I mean, it's seemingly a complicated question because of Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. And Peter, of course, says, "Yes. Yes, you can," and goes over to a body of water and baptizes the eunuch there and then. So that act in the New Testament is a direct. It's coffee. Is a direct sort of answer or sort of complement to this thing. There is a way that the New Testament community is bringing in as converts, for sure. As converts, these people that previously would not have been part of the assembly, because that's not what the assembly was about in the old covenant, and that's okay. The other thing that I want to mention, sort of interesting change, is in that same chapter, a couple sentences down, no Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. Not even in the 10th generation, because they were rude when you were on the Exodus. No Ammonite or Moabite ever can enter the assembly of the Lord. No way, Jose. Moabites, not nice. They hired Balaam to curse you, and it led to that. Moabites, no. No place for the Moabites.
No Moabites.
But then, a little while later, in the Bible, we will get to it eventually, is a story of a woman named Ruth. And Ruth is indeed a Moabite who marries into a Judean husband, and so on and so forth. And Ruth is very much a faithful woman. More than that, at the very end of the book of Ruth, it says who Ruth's descendants are. And the last one of the descendants that is listed is King David. In the New Testament, when you get to the New Testament, and I think it is the Gospel of Luke that gives the Joseph genealogy, it gives the genealogy from the beginning, and it includes this woman named Ruth. So there is a Moabite in Jesus's own genealogy. That's incredible. What a difference. A Moabite has been brought into the family. So contra Deuteronomy 23:3, a Moabite has been brought into the family in an exalted place, not as a second class citizen, not a second class citizen at all, but on the contrary, is mentioned there in some of the opening pages of the New Testament. So that's an interesting way that it was sort of compromised. Now, there is a lot of, I'm not going to go over every single one of them. There is a lot of stuff about two topics. One is uncleanness of various ways. And the other is what we might call social justice. I mean, we don't have to call it that, but call it whatever you want. But taking care of the poor and the needy and the fatherless and the widow. So just want to say that the thing about the uncleanness, some of it gets rather personal, which I think is just to say, and I will not review that because I don't have to. Part of it is kind of personal. Just making the point that the Lord is concerned not just with the outward things, but with the inward things, but also with like everything that happens, like every little aspect of the world, God cares about, and God's holiness, needs to be mirrored in the holiness of God's people. Remember, they've been set apart. They're starting a new country. They're a new kind of people. And it means everything. The Israelite faith is not something about them, like alongside other things about them. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's not like they like playing poker and they enjoy a game of flag football and also they are Israelites. It's like, no. They're Israelites first and foremost. And they have these other identities too. Tribe of this, tribe of that. They enjoy this or that thing. But primarily, they are Israelites, and so need to be holy. The other thing I just want to mention is the sort of over and over talk about the fatherless and the widow, about the grain fields, and if you're cutting your crops and you miss a spot, don't go back and get it. Just leave it for the poor, because you were poor too. Back in the day, and just leave it there for them. And if you do that, then you will be blessed in all the things. Now that extends to, very interestingly to me anyway, 23:19, do not charge a fellow Israelite interest, not on anything. This prohibition on interest is a big one. Now it only applies to Israelites, to fellow Israelites. It doesn't apply to Gentiles. But again, that's, you know, they're a big family, and you take care of one another. Don't take advantage of anyone. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That's why I command you to do this. So lots of stuff in that. I'm like leaving out a bunch of the New Testament parallels. Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Paul has a reference to that when he talks about the gospel. All right, I gotta go. I'm losing interest here. All right. Anyway, that's what it is. Anything you want to add?
No.
Hi. All right.
Go birds.
Let us pray. A God who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful rest of your day and happy reading. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.